Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Earlier today at a rain-soaked soccer stadium in Soweto, President Barack Obama joined tens of thousands in paying tribute to Nelson Mandela, South Africa's first black president. President Obama described the late South African leader as a giant of history who moved the nation toward justice and in the process moved billions around the world. He also praised Mandela for entrenching the principles of democracy in the country, which had so long been ruled by an elite white minority, saying Mandela's commitment to democracy and the rule of law was ratified not only by his election, but by his willingness to step from power after only one term. Last night at Augustana College in Sioux Falls, Joel Johnson and Susan Hessler led a forum titled Without Democracy, There Cannot Be Peace, Nelson Mandela, South Africa, and the World. Joel Johnson is Associate Professor of Government and International Affairs at Augustana. Susan Hessler is Senior Vice President for Academic Affairs and Dean of the College. She's traveled a half dozen times to South Africa and has studied Nelson Mandela. They're with us on the line. And Joel and Susan, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Well, President Obama has called Nelson Mandela his personal hero. A lot of words have been shared over the past several days since his death about Nelson Mandela. I'd like to begin with the two of you and how you would describe Nelson Mandela. Joel Johnson?
Yes. Well, Mandela, I think, deserves the praise that he's gotten from so many people recently. He's truly an example of a great leader who has strong principles, yet a sense of the political, of the pragmatic. And I think what really has brought him to everyone's attention is, despite being in prison for nearly three decades for charges that are questionable, controversial, upon exiting prison and taking over power, there's a restraint, there's a desire to not go with what's natural to me and to many other people, which is vengeance, but to work out a process, a reconciliation process, by which victims of injustice and perpetrators of that injustice could work towards some more productive solution. And that, I think, is where Mandela is a model of great leadership. He's a model to many other places in the world where there is a legacy of injustice and countries are working to get past that. And I think that's why he completely deserves the praise that he's gotten in recent days.
Susan Hessler?
Well, and I think I'd follow that up, too, by saying I agree with all that Joel said. I think many international leaders captured his legacy so well in the past few days. But to me, Nelson Mandela really represented a people, represented a group of people who hadn't had a voice. He brought voice, and he represented a whole set of leaders, a whole set of people who were part of a movement who were hopeful and persistent and strong and committed to reconciliation. So not only was he an exceptional individual, but I think he represented a large group of South Africans who, in many ways, he embodied this heart and soul of reconciliation and strength and persistence.
How was he able to do that? I'm curious as to, you know, why these people followed him after Nelson Mandela was out of prison, he was able to sort of contain any feelings of vengeance on the part of the people that followed him. And what was it that, how was he able to inspire people to agree with his point of view, Susan?
Well, I think part of what happened is that Mandela was leading a movement while he was in prison. One of my favorite stories about him was when he was in prison, he was building leaders with everyone who was incarcerated with him. And so when we visited Robben Island, there's just a stunning story being told by one of the people who was incarcerated with him, that any person who came in as a prisoner, if they were not able to read, Mandela made sure that someone taught them to read. And he was writing prolifically at that time, smuggling some of the writings out, working with people both within the prison and outside. And so he was already building on a movement that had been very strong before he was incarcerated, and he kept leading. So in some ways, it was a natural progression then for him to move into a leadership position after he left Robben Island. What I think is quite incredible, however, after he left Robben Island is that he maintained his position as president only for 4 years, recognizing that there were other very strong leaders as part of this movement who needed to have voice as well.
Well, Joel Johnson, that sort of brings up a contrast with another man once seen as a liberator of his people, Zimbabwe President Robert Mugabe. He's been president for three decades now of the once white-ruled country of Rhodesia. What does the contrast between Mugabe and Mandela tell us about the role of democracy in achieving peace in these countries?
Right. Well, it's hard for me to look at Mandela's example and not think of George Washington, who could have stayed in power indefinitely, was widely beloved, and his successors were not nearly as widely beloved as he was, but who knew that it was time for him to step down if a republic, if a democracy could be sustained. Because in a republic, in a democracy, the rule of law matters, not the rule of one person. I think Mandela is a much better example for the world to follow in that regard, that you need to be able to pass power beyond the initial superstar, if you will. And that was very difficult for us in this country with far fewer challenges. And it's very difficult in South Africa to make that transition. And I think Mandela was right to pass things along, you know, for good or for ill. There will be a rocky road for the foreseeable future in South Africa, but it's necessary for a democracy to be able to pass power, and he started that.
Well, and I also think this captures, again, Mandela's belief that he was part of a movement, part of a group of leaders, and the commitment to ensuring that this would continue long into the future, not just be based on a single charismatic and exceptional leader.
So there was he prevented the danger of a cult of personality?
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be hard to contain in a way because he had an incredible personality, right? You know, that ability to be both strong and gentle, to build bridges, to be principled and pragmatic. So he was going to be a striking force no matter what. But I think he had the humility and wisdom to recognize that there were other good leaders as well.
Well, Joel Johnson, I'm always wondering about after someone of Mandela's stature passes away, that there's a tendency to paint them in some very, I guess, very flattering colors, overlooking some of the maybe other controversial things about these leaders, knowing that Nelson Mandela was a man, a flesh and blood person. Is there a danger sometimes of turning Nelson Mandela into a saint of some sort?
There is always that sort of danger. I think the praise is, again, generally well deserved. We can go back and recount the history of South Africa and its politics during the Cold War era, and it's hard to understand apartheid and its survival without that context. We can talk about how the African National Congress and Mandela had ties to rivals of the West and to America, and how that shaped our response to South Africa and its policies. Yes, he's a flesh and blood man. He's not without fault. Certainly deserves criticism throughout his life for various things. But I think all of that, in the end, gets dwarfed by his participation, his crucial participation in bringing South Africa at the end of the 20th century into a position where it can become a more robustly democratic society. And it's, I think, difficult to really overstate the challenge that he faced and that white leaders like de Klerk faced in trying to usher in South Africa to a more broadly participatory system. And the challenges are not over by any measure, but I think he really does deserve that praise.
Do you think that he prevented South Africa from falling into civil war after apartheid?
Yes. Yes, I think crucially so.
Now, Susan Hessler, as I mentioned, you've been to South Africa a half dozen times or so. When did you first visit the country?
I was first invited there in 2004, so 10 years after Nelson Mandela first took over in what they call the transformation. And I was invited there to be a visiting lecturer at the University of Potchefstroom, where F.W. de Klerk was the chancellor before he rose to national leadership, and a historically white Afrikaans institution. But I also had developed a relationship, a professional relationship, with a colleague who was from Venda, a member of the African National Congress, a strong activist who worked in the area of education. So every time I went to South Africa, I would work in historically white Afrikaans universities, but also work with my colleague Samson in primarily black primary and secondary schools.
When were you last in South Africa?
Was last there in 2008.
What is the country like today? What are your impressions?
Well, I think the country is, the impression I was left with in South Africa is it is a country that is in a state of development and huge energy around trying to figure out how to solve the problems, taking on ambitious, very ambitious, large problems, and trying to come up with solutions, using the international community to do so, trying to do it internally. But so many of the people I met in South Africa are entrepreneurs, are hopeful, but are also very practical about doing the work, doing the hard work of really transforming a culture, an economy, all the systems, all the ways of operating.
Joel Johnson, do you think Nelson Mandela helped create the framework for that?
Yes, I think so. They're great human resources in South Africa, in addition to all of its natural resources, its strategic geographical location. And I think despite all the challenges that still lie ahead for South Africa, you know, Mandela did put things on the right course. I know some of the big problems surround the redistribution of land. And there's been criticism of the ANC recently and of Mandela that it's too little, too late, that the goal of redistributing 30% of the land by 2014, they didn't get anywhere close to it. Only about 7% was actually redistributed. So there's pressure to the left of the ANC to take more coercive actions to get to that goal and maybe follow more of Zimbabwe's model of more coercive land distribution. So there's that pressure that the path that Mandela set, the ANC has been following, is maybe too moderate. But I would say overall, I think Mandela does set the right course, and the ANC, following along in his model, for the most part, is taking them down the right track.
Well, Joel Johnson, with Nelson Mandela's passing, what do you think that means for the politics of South Africa, even though he's been out of power for more than a decade and been out of the limelight for quite a while, even before he died? Does his passing mark a sort of a change in any way in what will happen with the politics of South Africa?
Well, his memory is going to survive for a very long time. There's going to be the inevitable fighting over what would Mandela want. We face that in our country. The Republican primary was all about what would Ronald Reagan do. That's going to still be there. We've already had a transition of power to the next generation. There have been several presidents now who are upwards of 20, 30 years younger than Mandela. So that generational turnover has begun. There's a young generation that's not yet into leadership, which has grown up largely after apartheid ended, which has a global outlook, which thinks of the old world as being strange and not something that really is relevant to the present quite as much. So I think we're going to see as years pass that Mandela's legacy continues. There's, as you mentioned, the saintliness of the image that comes to the top, maybe with not as much understanding of the complexities involved in his life and legacy. But I think we're going to see all of the above, really, a fighting over the legacy, a struggling to craft a new identity as new generations arise. We'll see what happens.
Is understanding that complexity very important in really understanding Nelson Mandela and his legacy?
I think so, because when you praise someone without understanding what caused them to do those things that are worthy of praise, it's superficial. I think I gain much more respect for Mandela by learning about his struggle for identity, his consideration of all different avenues as he grew up and gained positions of leadership, his good decisions and maybe his not so good decisions, and his ultimate contribution seem so much more impressive as a result.
Well, Susan Hessler, from your experiences in South Africa, talking with the people there, what are your impressions of the way people in South Africa view Nelson Mandela and what is now his legacy?
Well, I have a wonderful quote from my friend Samson, who I worked with so closely there, and people would ask him, what do you think will happen when Mandela dies? And Samson would always say, you know, Madiba, who that's the name that he used, he'd always say, you know, he carried our heart and soul. But when he dies, we will celebrate, we will mourn, and then we will carry on. And so I think what I heard as I was reading things over the weekend and, you know, listening this morning to people being interviewed and that kind of thing is, he will be celebrated, he will be remembered, they will mourn his passing, but the work will carry on because the people there are committed to doing so.
How do you view the future of South Africa?
Oh, I think I agree with Joel that it is very complex, but I think that they have a very positive future going forward. It's hard work that they're doing. I had the privilege of working with some of the people who are engaged in this hard work of reconciliation and changing structures and changing 300 years of patterns and economies and social systems. But they have the right spirit and they have the right grounding, I think, in Mandela's and others' work. And I think it's a very positive future.